Hey, yo, and here we go. It's We Talk Comics. This is the 72nd kick-ass episode of We Talk Comics. Maybe it's called Showtime, the We Talk Comics Trivia. Maybe it's not. We don't know yet. Kind of going to see how this goes. But we're going to open up, though, with the news sponsored by Comicosity. Best comic book website in existence? Maybe. Maybe not. I'm pretty sure maybe yes. What do you say, Keith? You want to start off with the news? And actually, you know what we didn't do? Didn't get any of you guys to introduce yourselves. So, Brett, why don't you introduce yourself? Kung Fu movies, with or without wires, what's better?
You know, I really like both, but you know, as a purist, I'll go with without.
All right, and that is the correct answer. Chris, with or without?
You know what? If it's an old school Kung Fu movie, I'm going with wires. I could do without with it wires. In today's modern films, but I like the classic wire work. When they were first learning how to use Hollywood equipment to actually do Kung Fu, I love that crap.
All right, Keith, our embedded, what do you call him? Reporter. Cop reporter, at least.
I'm going to say with wires, because I love when they make a leaping kick, and then they just fly straight across the room at a 90-degree angle to where they started. I love that. That's awesome.
All right. Well, there you go. All right, and we're going to go back to the news then by Comicosity with Cub Reporter K. What the hell, Keith? Kick it off. All right. I'm Mo, by the way. And the right answer was without wires, but I didn't mention.
I don't know. I'm thinking of going with wires now after everybody else, that really convinced me. You didn't.
All right. Go ahead, Keith.
All right, we're powering through some news this week. The Walking Dead will have branded Monopoly and Risk games coming up. This is a wacky idea. There's a gimmick Monopoly for everything, and the artwork that we've seen in Prototype is based on the comic book art, which is kind of cool.
I'd just like to know how you do a Risk game with it. That could be excellent.
You know what we should do, guys? We should go to a pub. And we should bring Risk along with us and play it.
Yeah, leave it at the pub and come back.
Do you have a recorder that that records for 5 hours, Brett?
Yep,
you do. That would be a hell of a show.
I don't actually know how to play Risk because I've never had that kind of time.
Nobody's ever finished a game. You realize that nobody in existence has ever finished a game of Risk. Even if they know how to play it,
there's everybody actually
makes their own house rules.
There's people who started 20 years ago and are still playing currently, you know.
Yeah. And everybody has house rules. My house rules are whatever helps me win. What else is going on in the news?
Well, the Age of Ultron, which has the super duper super secret 10th issue finale that's being drawn by Joe Quesada because it's so secret. They've given away one of the things that will be in that issue. That is that Neil Gaiman's character, Angela, will be coming to the Marvel Universe.
Hmm. Just a screw you to Todd McFarlane, isn't it?
You betcha.
He's more than happy to do it.
She'll be appearing in the concluding issue of Age of Ultron and will be in Guardians of the Galaxy number 5, which will be co-written by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Neil Gaiman, is he going to be working regularly with Marvel from here on out, or what's the word there?
No further word. I mean, we know that he's got the Sandman miniseries coming from Valiant or from Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's the limit for Neil Gaiman. He kind of does whatever he wants to now.
Yeah, that's true. And he has worked for Marvel before, but he hasn't worked there regularly. It's an ongoing series, has he, for quite a while?
I don't believe he's ever done an ongoing series. He did 1602, which was a mini, and he did
Eternals.
Years ago. Yeah, Eternals, mm-hmm. which is another miniseries.
Another miniseries, that's right.
And the Alice Cooper
1602, wasn't that like an Elseworlds type X-Men land on Plymouth Rock type story?
Fantasy, yeah. Or Fanta. Was it X-Men?
It was Avengers.
Avengers, yeah. And then it was Avengers. And then they turned it into Fantastic Four with somebody else.
I think they might have turned it into X-Men too, because I think that's the one I read. I think they might have. I think that's the one I read. I could be wrong here. I'm the trivia master. I don't have to answer these questions.
So, The Batman TV series from the 1960s, they finally settled some rights that we talked about this, must be a year ago now. We talked about how they had finally settled out the rights so they can start producing toys and merchandise based on those on that TV series. And because of the way that DC's Digital First program works, they'll be doing a Digital First comic book to tie to that called Batman, the Classic TV Series, or Batman 66. We'll see which one actually ends up on the label. This will be by, what's his first name, Parker?
Jeff Parker.
Jeff
Parker. And in this giant, Jonathan Case. Jonathan Case is doing the artwork.
That sounds like fun.
Awesome Digital First one.
I don't really care about the DVDs, though I know Chris will. But that sounds like fun as a series. With Batman, the Classic Television Series is the name, because Batman 66 makes no sense to anybody.
Except people who would read a Batman comic book about the 1966 television show.
No, I don't think so.
I'd go with Batman 66.
What's that?
66.
66, yeah.
No, Keith? It sounds cooler. It does sound cooler, but it's not as descriptive. The problem with that is, let me tell you right now, you say the people that would read it, I would read it. But if you ask me what year it was out in, I would say I have no idea.
Oh, right. So I'm going to do a little poll here. I had a column on Comicosity this week, one of my Read Between the Lines columns, about Batwing. What's happening in Batwing is that next issue, which is the WTF cover issue of Batwing, it's the first issue of Palmiotti and Gray, they have said that there will be a new Batwing. And that this new Batwing, they've been very cagey about it, but that it is, that whatever the identity of the new Batwing, it is someone that readers will have some familiarity with. It'll be someone that'll tie closer into the Batman family proper. And that the new design costume has a functional reason why it looks the way it does and will continue to be modified. So it's very vague. But with those hints, I did a column on giving the odds of various characters that have been talked about on the Twitter for possible Batwing alter egos. So take your guess. We'll know next week. We'll know first week of April.
All right. I need the odds. I need who you put on there.
I started at the shortest odds being either a character. A new character with a familiar tie, such the way that the Talon was, or a really obscure character that you have heard of but not really that familiar. Next best odds were Terry McGinnis, the Batman from Batman Beyond, Kirk Langstrom, the Man-Bat, who has not appeared in New 52, Tim Drake, John Blake, the character from Dark Knight Rises, who has been rumored to be added to the DC Universe. Then in the middle stuff, we've got a couple of little more off. Rene Montoya, Thomas Wayne Jr. from the Night of the Owls crossover, Cassandra Cain or Stephanie Brown. And then kind of on the far, far end is my personal pick, Alfred. I think it was going to be Alfred.
What is his name there? Jean-Pierre Lafitte, or what the hell was his name there? The
Jean-Paul Jean-Paul Valley. I heard that one come up. Yeah, that was one I had missed on my list.
Azrael, that's an interesting
Jean-Paul Valley is my pick. What do you guys think? Brett, Keith, Chris? Chris, actually, Keith gave his Alfred. Strong pick.
I think there's a possibility, considering some of the controversy, the spoiler.
Stephanie Brown.
Which? I honestly don't know which one.
I certainly don't know.
I've actually never read a whole issue with you. But I'm glad you like it. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going with Spawn. He's got a casual tie to.
You know what? That's a good one. That would be Todd McFarlane's FU to Marvel and Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, I'm leasing my character that's still going, but I suppose Ash isn't a possibility, but because Joe Q probably owns half of that, but Booster Gold? Is that an option?
I gave 250 to 1 odds on Booster Gold.
Well, Brett, you'll be a rich man.
500 to 1 odds on Damian Wayne.
Did you give any odds on, is there like 1,000 to 1 odds on Ted Kord?
Damian was as far as I wanted to go. I gave 100
about,
to 1.
How about, this is how Peter Parker comes back. What are the odds on that?
I like it. I'm in.
All right,
what else
last
is happening in the news?
One last news story, and this, I don't know how you're going to handle this one, Mo. I honestly don't. Okay. Now I need you to react twice. I'm going to say two bits of news.
Okay.
And I need you to react separately.
You like winding me up. You assume I'm going to react.
All right. Mo, mm-hmm. This summer, mm-hmm. Valiant is launching Quantum and Woody.
I knew that. Yes, I knew that. I had that feeling because I saw the Twitter stuff, World's Worst Superhero Team. I tweeted it out a couple times. I'm very excited, very excited. Depending.
Now, Mo.
Things I'm depending on. Okay, go ahead.
Name one of those things.
Okay, two things. Number one, Quantum and Woody have to have a crossover with Archer and Armstrong. Best crossover ever. If that doesn't happen, no point in this. Okay, that's number one. That's the minor, a little less minor. But number two, is it going to be Priest and M. Day Bright? Is it going to be the original team back? That's what I'm hoping.
No.
It's not going to be Doc Bright and Priest?
No. Written by James Asmus and art by Tom Fowler and Jordi Belair. We got some... There were some gossip site info about something that Kevin Maguire said this week about problems with the Acclaim contracts. And apparently the creators that thought they could buy back the rights to the characters weren't later allowed. Maguire tried to buy back one of his characters, and Maguire's information was that Priest and Bright had tried to buy back one of them, Woody, and couldn't.
I actually thought they still owned it, so I figured if it was coming back, at least they were licensing out. I mean, it is a shame, though I have to say Valiant's done such a good job with everything and the people they found. I'm sure these people will do a fine job, but it's just that this isn't like something like, you know, this is a very personal character. I mean, this is Priest and Doc Bright's characters. It's not even something like Exo, which is kind of created to be a character to pass on to people. So I mean, that's definitely disappointing. But hey, it's Quantum and Woody and Archer and Armstrong.
So it's not like before Watchmen. It's not before Quantum and Woody for you.
No, God, no. Go. Let's be honest, it's Quantum and Woody.
All right, and that's the news.
I'd collect a book called Doc Bright and Priest. That's a great
Doc
team
Bright
book name.
Priest, actually, that does sound like a book. They should do a book like that. That would be awesome. Doc Bright and Priest. All right. Okay, now we're going to play. It's showtime, folks. We're going to play the We Talk Comics trivia game. This was going to feature our friend Comic Canuck on as well. He was going to be not the ringer. He was actually going to be the anti-ringer. Somebody offered him another site to make us all look better because you all would have beaten him. But since he's not around, we'll see who wins. Everybody at home, you're going to follow along, and hopefully you'll know the answer. This is by the honor system. Nobody will be using Google, I hope, and nobody at home. Let's see if you know the answer to these questions. Plus, it gives you a chance to cheer for your favorite. And we'll have the three competing guys, Brett, Chris, and Keith. This is going to be, essentially, I'm going to be asking you guys a question. You'll have an opportunity to pass. If you choose to answer it, you'll get a point. If you get the incorrect, you will lose a point. There will be bonus questions where there is that are only you can't lose a point on because I consider them a little more difficult. So we're going to open up with Brett. And Brett, the character is Hawkeye. And what we're going to be looking for first is, do you want to pass on Hawkeye or do you want to go on him?
I'll go on Hawkeye.
All right, Brett. Who is the writer that created Hawkeye?
Roy Thomas?
Ooh, Brett's already in the negative one. All right. Brett, do you want to continue on to the artist?
Hell yeah, why not?
Okay. I will tell you the writer now was Stan Lee.
Ah.
The artist who created Hawkeye was...
Well, now I want to bypass it, but I had a great answer, and now it's probably wrong, but I'm going to go with Mike Zeck.
Ooh, you're it's very not, very interesting yeah. question.
Can we guess if, like, for no points? Just
let's pass it on, actually. Let's see. Keith, if you want to make a guess, let's hear it. What do you got?
Is it Don Heck?
It's Don Heck. I'm going to give you a point for that.
Damn. You know, I bet you that, it was probably the Heck Zeck thing in my head.
The Heck Zeck thing. You got it reversed. Yeah. I think that was very good. I would never have gotten that. So, Brett, you're now at -2, and Keith is at a +1. Chris, I'm going to give you an opportunity for the bonus point on Hawkeye. Within a 3-year span, what year did he debut?
1966.
Within a 3-year span, you're incorrect. Does anybody? But that's not a negative point. It was a bonus point. Anybody else want to take a shot at that one?
1972.
No. Keith?
1972. No, it can't be that late. It must be 62.
It would be incorrect. It's 64. 63 or 65.
That's
also
within a 3-year. I got it right.
No. 63 or 65 is a 3-year span.
What?
So
he said 66.
I said 66.
And it was 64.
So 63 or 65 also would have been correct. So 64, 60.
No, that's a 1-year span. 65.
So that's the 3-year span.
That's only a
1-year span.
Well, apparently
saying, so what you actually mean is plus or minus 1 year.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Wow, that would have been so much nicer.
Chris,
if
we're
you
moving on to
that.
You. Chris, your character is Deathlok. Do you want to go or pass?
I'll go.
Hey, the writer who created Deathlok is
Steve Englehart.
Good guess. I'm afraid that's incorrect, so then I'll give you a minus point. Brett or Keith, either one of you want to step up on that? Make a guess? Or pass?
I know what book it was in, but I don't know.
I feel like I should know, but I'm not...
guess going to pass?
I don't feel good about it.
Chris, do you want to go on the artist?
Oh, no, I do not want to go on the artist. I'm going to pass.
Brett or Keith, on the artist? Chris, you don't want to torture yourself, huh?
No, actually, I've just figured out your math on this, and there's no way Brett can win now as long as we play it safe.
That is wicked. What a great game show this is. Keith wins by default because nobody answers another question.
The rest of the game.
Okay, so nobody's doing the artist, I guess. Anybody want to guess the year for a bonus point that Deathlok debuted? Plus or minus one?
Minus one. Oh, crap.
75.
Incorrect.
77.
Incorrect.
72.
Correct. Dead on.
Oh,
correct.
Damn.
Chris is back up to zero.
So again, I would have
been... So the standings at this point, Keith is at a +1, Chris at a 0, and -2 for Brett still. Brett, I think you could just wait till these guys continue to get some wrong and dig themselves into a hole and win at -2.
What a great game show.
Your character, Keith, is Wesley Dodds. Do you want to pass or go on Wesley Dodds, a.k.a. the Golden Age Sandman?
Pass.
Brett, your character, Wesley Dodds, then. Pass or go?
This is awesome. It's Brett's all-time favorite character, and he doesn't know a single answer.
No, because...
I know. If he passed this, I'll be like, are you shitting me?
No. I would only do it because he's my favorite character only because of the Sandman Mystery Theater run. And do I want to take the chance that you're going to ask me about the Sandman Mystery Theater run? No.
Which I'm not.
Yeah, so
you're right. See, so you're passing?
Yeah,
I don't know. You should still know the characters. Oh,
I am taking this one.
Chris, the writer who created Sandman Mystery Theater.
That created Sandman Mystery Theater?
Oh, sorry. That created the Golden Age Sandman. My mistake. What's that
called? Okay. Joe Simon.
Incorrect, Gabe. Chris, but I'm going to give you a chance at a bonus point. The one who gets the chance, plus or minus a year, the debut of Golden Age Sandman.
Oh.
I know. Talk it out. Talk it out. Don't just sit there and be silent.
59.
Talk it out. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
What's that?
Yes, it is.
59. Let's talk this out a little bit, Chris. What year was did the Golden Age end and the Silver Age begin?
Yeah. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
You're going to stick with 59? Final answer?
Sure.
You're off by 20 years exactly. It's 1939. Okay. But that will not be a negative point.
Okay.
Back to you there, Brett. Your character is the Parasite, the famous Superman villain.
What the hell? I can only go lower, right? So
you can only go lower. Brett, I want you to name one of the two writers, and you get 2 points if you name them both, who created the original character for the Parasite or the modern age, Bronze Age character for the Parasite. So either the Silver Age or the Bronze Age. Give me the writer.
Schuster and Byrne?
Sorry, incorrect on both. That would give you a minus 4. Yeah, you're really screwed now.
Yep. Was that an either
Chris,
or there?
Do you want to go or do you want to pass?
I do not. I want to pass. I have no idea. I'm vaguely familiar with the character of the Parasite, so
I think he's purple.
I know he's purple, but that's beyond. Since Mo did not ask me what color he is.
Yeah, it's too bad. Purple. I could have gotten that one. I'm actually going to aim for the to see if I can how low I can bury myself.
It's not golf, Brett. Keith.
So you're looking for writers for the.
Yes.
Silver or
Bronze Age.
Silver or Bronze Age. No, I'm going to pass.
Okay, Bronze Age, John Ostrander. Silver Age, Jim Shooter. Jim Shooter created the Parasite.
Oh, yeah, there was really no way I was ever going to get that.
No, that one was not that easy. Okay, the original series that this character appeared in, Chris, The Silver Samurai. Do you want to go or do you want to pass?
I'm going to go.
Okay, where did The Silver Samurai make his debut?
I think he made his debut in Marvel Premiere.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris, that's incorrect. You're minus 2 now. Keith, do you want to take a shot?
It seems to me that it's not something obvious.
Like X-Men?
like Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah.
I don't know what that meant, Mo.
It didn't mean anything. I'm just the host. I didn't mean yes or no. I should have said a freaking word.
No, I didn't. No hints from you, Mo.
No hints. I will give you a hint. It's not X-Men.
I think he was introduced earlier, but I'm going to say New Mutants.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. That puts you back down to a 0, but you're still in the lead at a 0. Solidly in the lead with a 0. Brett, do you want to go or do you want to pass?
Well, I mean, I would love to make a guess, but I don't want to lose another point, so I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass. Okay, Chris, let's move with some Silver Samurai bonus points. Can you give me the year he debuted or the writer?
Doug Monk, 1972. Mm-hmm.
Incorrect on both counts, and that is within plus or minus 1. Keith, bonus points?
No, I'll pass. But was the answer Iron Man?
Marvel 2 and Daredevil. 1.
The answer was Daredevil issue 111.
Daredevil issue 111. Wow, that doesn't
and
even
that gives
really
you a hint as well here, Brett, Steve. You get your chance on the Silver Surfer. We're looking for the writer.
Or Silver Samurai?
Silver Samurai, sorry. Silver Samurai.
I don't know who the hell was writing Daredevil at 111. Steve Englehart?
This posting gig is so much harder than it seems. Pardon me?
Steve Englehart?
No, I'm afraid not. Steve Gerber is the correct answer.
Well, I had the Steve part.
And year?
Year? I would go with 79.
1974. Yeah. All right, we're moving on here. We don't have that many left, guys, that we're going to go to. Rogue.
It's too bad, really.
I believe it's Keith's turn. Where did Rogue debut, Keith?
Oh, Rogue. It's an Avengers annual, isn't it?
Which one?
I gotta give the issue number.
Nine. Make a guess, and I'll decide. Nine, did you say?
Yeah.
It's number 10. I'm gonna give you a point for that. That's pretty damn good.
Finally, something that I actually could have answered.
You actually could have given that one?
Yeah. Oh, I knew it was 10.
Did you? No. Bonus point, Brett.
I can't tell you who wrote it, but
the writer and artist together for a bonus point.
No, certainly can't give you that.
No, nothing. Chris?
Roy Thomas. It's my standard Avengers guess.
Actually, Steve Englehart is. he was writing Avengers during that era, so.
Did Mo just hit Steve Englehart's Wikipedia to play?
But he hasn't been right yet. Keith, have you got writer artist?
No, I don't know either one.
It's Chris Claremont, and I'm surprised nobody guessed Chris Claremont. But the artist is Michael Golden. For that, Brett, another chance to drag yourself out of this. Who created? I need the writer of who created Tim Drake.
Oh, man. Wouldn't you know it? The worst part is that I actually just opened one of those issues the other day, but Steve Englehart?
Oh, my God, no.
I have no
You're
idea.
Minus five, Brett. I'm never going on. If ever we get a chance to play Jeopardy as a team, I'm not going with you. Chris, can you
Apparently
give us
not
the writer who
comic
created?
Creator Jeopardy, that's for
I'm okay, Chuck Dixon.
That's a solid guess. Solid guess, but incorrect. Okay, how about you there?
I was going to say Chuck Dixon.
Solid guess. He wrote the miniseries.
But he didn't create the character.
So sorry, I actually got confused. I got thinking Jason Todd.
Oh.
I didn't think at all about Tim Drake. So.
Oh, my goodness. You said it was Lonely Place of Dying was his first thing. Who the heck wrote that? Oh, that's terrible. I pass.
You're passing. It's Marv Wolfman. Marv Wolfman. Bonus point, Brett, the year Tim Drake debuted. Within what plus or minus one?
87?
I'm afraid not. Chris?
Let's go with 85.
I'm afraid not. Keith?
89.
89 is the correct year.
It was November. November 1989. If you want to give an extra point for that one.
You should. You won't, because I don't have that written down to confirm. But you should. All right. Chris, we're getting near the end, like I say. Solar, Man of the Autumn. I need all four companies. This is worth 2 points, by the way. All four companies that he has been published by.
I know this one. Warren, Gold Key, Valiant, and Dark Horse.
Give it to me one more time.
Warren, Gold Key, Dark Horse, and Valiant.
Incorrect, Chris. Oh, my.
It's the Warren. God. Damn it. It wasn't Warren.
Keith, do you want to try it?
Depends on how you're counting, I guess.
Are you talking about Valiant and Acclaim being two separate?
that was my thing.
I know what you're thinking.
I'm only counting 1 point against if you get it incorrect, but 2 points if you get it right.
Okay, I'm going to go. Okay, so Dark Horse, Valiant. I'm assuming you're counting Valiant and Acclaim as one company. Gold Key and Dell.
So. Brett, I'm not counting Valiant and Acclaim as one company.
Oh.
There's technically they're two. Why don't you make a guess?
Valiant, Acclaim, Gold Key, and now it's just really up to to like the other I feel like
the other guy said it. They said it. Both of them said it.
You literally just told.
I'm trying to throw you a bone. The host just told you that.
What the answer is.
I stopped listening.
Brett, make a guess.
Did you say Dark Horse?
Brett got it! Dark Horse. He pulls it into a tie with Chris at -4, and Keith is winning with +1. Oh. Where were we? Oh, was Keith's turn?
I believe it's
Whose turn was it?
I think
I have no idea.
Yeah, that was Chris got that one first.
All right, so it's your turn. Shadow Man. I will accept 3 of the 4 people responsible for his creation or his first appearance. What series he first appeared in.
Pass.
Oh, I'm going to pass.
He's passing. He's both passing. How about you, Chris?
He first appeared in Harbinger.
Good guess, but incorrect, I'm afraid.
I feel like...
In Exo Manowar, number 4.
Okay, wow. Well, see, I never would have got that, so yeah. It's a good
thing I can see the freaking panel in my head. It just Exo isn't in it.
3 of the 4 creators? Can you give me that?
Oh, no.
Shooter!
Oh, okay. I'm going to give you the 4 creators probably. Right now. Yes?
Yeah,
going?
I know. Bart Sears and Jim Shooter.
Ooh, you're pretty close there. Jim Shooter is one of them, and Leighton is one of them, as is Dave Lapham, and Steve Englehart.
All right, Steve Englehart finally got in the action. Yay, Steve Englehart.
And Brett, I'm going to give you one last question here. Actually, a bonus point for anybody who wants to. Again, give me 2 of the 3 people responsible for the creation of Wolverine. Or actually, 3 of the 4, sorry. 3 of the 4 people responsible for the creation of Wolverine. Anybody?
Dave Cockrum.
No.
Not Dave Cockrum. Len Wein and Herb Trimpe.
Len Wein and Herb Trimpe is correct.
Who the heck is Herb Trimpe? Trimpe.
Give me one Trimpe. More. Herb Trimpe, Len Wein.
Paul will be furious with me. Trimpe.
Anybody else? Roy Thomas and John Romita Jr. First appearance of Wolverine was in?
Incredible Hulk.
171.
No, 181.
No.
Brett?
I suck.
It's not 181?
It's not, no.
Oh.
Last page of 180?
Good guess, Chris. Or Keith, good guess. You win it there. It was the final page of 180. All right.
In Shadow. Yes. I don't think that should count. He got it right.
And he got it right either way. He wins. Keith easily runs away with this with 2 points. This, I think, has exposed us as not knowing nearly as much about comics as we thought. This may not have been a good idea.
Yeah, Mo, I would officially like to say that the next time you have this planned in, I will be taking that week off.
Well, or give us some study materials.
You and Chris both finish at a -5, but Chris was far more aggressive, so his -5 is actually more impressive because, Brett, you passed a lot more.
Well, that's because I got buried immediately.
You guys want any more? I got 5 more people. Are we ready to go? Are you done?
Oh, I'm done.
Do 2 more.
You want to do 2 more?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you a choice of character. I'll give you a choice of character. Here's the 5 characters. You tell me which one you want to tackle there, Chris.
Okay. All right.
We got Apocalypse, Jackal, Kitty Pryde, Colossus, and Green Arrow.
Oh, I hate you all. Kitty Pryde. Let's go with Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde. Okay. Kitty Pryde, I need the writer and artist who created her.
a writer and artist. I'm going with Chris Claremont and artist Dave Cockburn.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. Brett?
Joan Byrne.
Why does it go to Brett? Why does it go to Brett?
Because they're breaking the tie. You've already...
Okay.
It's John Byrne.
It's John Byrne.
Right.
A little bit of trivia.
Claremont and Byrne. All right. Keith, with plus or minus a year, what year did she debut?
Yeah, welcome to the X-Men, Kitty Pryde. Hope you survived the experience.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, what year was that?
That'd be 1981.
1980 is correct, so you win that one. Keith is just seriously kicking ass here. Keith, which one do you want? Jackal, Apocalypse, Colossus, or Green Arrow?
Apocalypse.
Interesting. All right. I will take the writer and artist who created Apocalypse.
Louise Simonson and John Bogdanov.
Incorrect. Anybody else got a guess?
Well, I'm guessing that the artist is Walt Simonson.
Brett has got it. Brett, you're moving solidly ahead of Chris now.
And the writer is Peter David.
No, it's Louise Simonson. No.
Yeah, that's Louise Simonson, yeah.
Right.
I'm not even going to give you a negative for that, though I could. I will give you a chance, the bonus point. Year of Apocalypse made it with Louise Simonson, of Walt Simonson. I'll give you the book. It was X Factor. What year?
It was like X
minus?
Factor number 1998.
Number six, Brett, but that's pretty good.
Six. Okay.
1986, Chris, was the correct answer. Brett, let's give you one more shot here. What the hell? Give me the book that this character debuted in, Colossus.
Uncanny X-Men?
I need it more specific, Brett.
Oh, I don't. I have no idea, but
you own it, man.
I know you own it.
Oh, frick! Giant Size X-Men number one. Holy crap! Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I was thinking if you didn't get that one right. Can either one, anybody give me the writer and artist of Giant Size X-Men number one?
Claremont and Cochran, isn't it?
Nope.
Claremont writing and Cochran.
Nope. Incorrect.
Steve Englehart.
No. Another name we've seen pop up many times, though. Anybody? Gone. It is Dave Cockrum who did the pencils. It was written by Len Wein, or Wein, however you pronounce it. Brett, let's try again. Let's go with this character. Pardon me?
Do we have to?
Yes, you have to. Yes. Who created, I'll take a writer or artist, and I'll take the gear. Any of these. Give me anything on the Jackal.
Steve Englehart.
If we keep saying it, it's going to be right eventually.
It was once, and that's the time you guys didn't use it.
1968, yeah.
Incorrect. His alter ego, Miles Warren, was introduced in 1965 by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, but the Jackal character was introduced later. What year? Writer, artist, anybody?
Romita Sr.?
Not Romita Sr., no. A good guess, about the same era. Brett, any guesses?
John Buscema?
No. It's Ross Andrew. Writer was Jerry Conway. He debuted in 1974.
See, I was going to guess 72. Yeah,
that would be pretty close. And one last time, give me the year of the debut of Green Arrow. Anybody? With plus or minus a year. All three of you. Starting with you, Brett.
62.
Chris?
49.
Keith?
56.
1941. Chris is the closest there. But you're all wrong. Brett, you drag yourself out of the hole. I'm actually past Chris here, but Keith is still our clear winner. And that's it, guys. I am done as a game show host. I hope to never host another game because it was hard. I had to count and stuff.
Yeah, I believe that was hard for me.
Pronounce things. Not as easy.
Steve Englehart.
Next time will be the Steve Englehart game. I'm going to create a game based just on Steve Englehart. It's going to be nothing but it's going to be his. So you're not allowed to look at his Wikipedia page between now and then.
6 degrees of Steve Englehart.
All right.
All questions involving Nightman.
Now, what the hell do you guys say that we do some of our world famous the section of the show that is it's our
flagship,
our signature move, our flagship, it might be that too. It is the world famous We Talk Comics Reviews section, known as We Views, because Keith, we are
here. I come to save the day,
saving you from good comics. No, wait. The other one. Bad comics.
That too. All right, let's.
We are bad at saving you from good comics.
Brett, give me a book that you want to sink your teeth into and save people from, or not.
Okay, well, if I'm going to talk about a book that I'd like to save people from, then I'm going to jump right into Mark Waid's The Green Hornet, because I would like to save somebody from wasting however many dollars that book is.
$4.
It was like $179.99, right? But you get four covers for that.
Yes. Well, Chris Duker would happily buy it at that price, but he wouldn't buy it for four, but probably $180 he would buy it for. But
that would be Comic Canuck to you guys out there.
That's right. For me, myself, I don't want to spend $4 on it, because I'm actually at the point where I'm sick to death of Green Hornet origin-style stories, and I'm kind of just bored of the Green Hornet, and this brought absolutely nothing new to it. So for me, it's a pass.
Hmm. Chris?
I didn't hate it as much as Brett did, but on a whole, I read it and went, this is a placeholder series right now. They're just publishing it because it's profitable. Until they can get a larger name than Wade. I mean, I love Wade, but at the same time, he doesn't bring too much new to the Green Hornet. I need a new take, and this isn't a new take.
They're going to get a larger name than Wade at Dynamite Comics writing the Green Hornet. Like who? Is Jesus Christ going to come back and write it, Chris? Like, what are you talking about?
The last guy who launched this was Kevin Smith. That's the name.
In the comic book world, I don't think Kevin Smith actually means more to people than, because he means stay away.
To you and me, yes. They wouldn't put his name above the title on certain comic books if there wasn't a draw.
I didn't put Mark Waid's name on. Sorry. I just don't understand a bigger name. You're not
How about Neil Gaiman? Neil Gaiman writing...
Neil Gaiman.
And it'll feature Angela.
I think Jason Mewes works for like Candy Brothers or something.
Yeah, and he is not a bigger name. Mark Waid's still a big name out there. Keith?
This was terrible. Well,
I liked it.
I knew it. Mark Waid was your favorite writer last in the Wee Talkies. So.
Well, he was my pick for writer of the year. I don't think that... here's the thing that I like about this. Dynamite, I don't think that this is like the... I agree. There's not a lot new here. It's a good start on point, though. But here's what I like. I just like the fact that how Dynamite is taking all these properties, all these Pulp Fiction characters. Number one, they're doing an awesome job finding artists that I don't know whose work is very pulp-centric, would fit into the books of 40, 50 years ago. And there's one panel in particular where Kato comes through and he kicks stuff, and there's a motion blur effect that he puts in, putting a modern spin on this pulp look. So I think the art is terrific. I hate the character design of Green Hornet, but the big Green Hornet on his freaking face, but I think the art is of general rules terrific. And I don't think there's anything new. I'll agree with that, but they're taking all these pulp characters, and what they're doing is building a superhero universe around them and tying them all in together, and they're doing it in a smart way, much better than DC did New 52. Much like Valiant, this is about to become the second best superhero universe existing. So that's why I enjoyed it. It's not even so much the quality of the book. It's more like a thumbs up to what Dynamite is doing as an overall feel.
I have no words.
Okay.
You're smoking something, man, and I want some.
I changed my mind. I kind of like what you were talking about. I don't know if this was. I don't know if this was that comic, but I like that as an idea.
Hey, I do like masks. I'll give masks a pass.
Yeah, like there's a subtle just mention of the shadow in here, and it's just, you know, it's I like it. It's good stuff. And the art. Oh, the art's nice. All right. Keith. No. Chris, you're next. Give us a book.
I guess it's the big one, man. Guardians of the Galaxy. Bendis writing Guardians of the Galaxy. You know what? I like this book. It's a it's a high quality Marvel book. I want to like it more than I actually do. Unfortunately, I went back and reread a lot of previous incarnations of Guardians of the Galaxy, and Marvel unfortunately has thrown out all continuity, which is a little bit for me a little bit tough, and it's my own mistake. I knew they were going to do this, but I went back, and Keith Giffen did some wonderful stuff, and they're throwing a lot of it out, and I'm having a reaction to that. But you know what? I can't complain about what they did offer. Other than that, it is a fresh start. It does give you a decent introduction to the characters, and within with some of the tie-in books they're doing, and the 0.0 previously that I also didn't love, I think I see where they're going with it, and I'm going to collect this series.
Well, Keith,
I quite enjoyed this book. Positives: I like the version of Peter Quill. Art by Steve McNiven's quite, and I really enjoyed. I like the interesting relationship between Quill and his father that's being set up. Negatives: I don't like that they put Iron Man in. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Feels a bit clunky, and I'm not positive why he's there to start. I'll probably stick with this one. I have a whole different opinion of Guardians of the Galaxy because I hear where you're coming from, Chris, and I hear other people talking about how much they like the DNA run and that era, and there is a lot of this stuff has been, you know, tossed out or, you know, rebooted-ish for this new line. I had a great chat with Longbox Graveyard, and Paul is only familiar with the like late 60s version of the Guardians of the Galaxy, the original Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm only familiar with the early 1990s version, which was a complete reboot of that version. So the DNA is a complete reboot of the version I know. So it's for that, none of us actually get to say that we at that that there's only one version of Guardians of the Galaxy, and how dare you? This is just the fourth one. It's okay.
Yeah.
Brett?
Well, I didn't really read any of the previous versions of Guardians of the Galaxy, so I have nothing overall to compare it to. For me, myself, I love this book. I thought it was fantastic. I'm enjoying the tie-ins. I enjoyed the 0.1. I'm really enjoying the Infinite Comics. It actually has increased my liking of Nova, whether it ties in directly or kind of indirectly along the a parallel path. I'll be happy with that. But I thought it was really, really good art and really good story. So totally into it.
I didn't like it.
That's because you like crap.
McNiven's art is really, really nice, but good lord, this entire story could have been told in two panels. Like, good lord. Nothing happens, very little happens. It's a setup, it's a prologue that you would have gotten in a six-page, tack on to another book to tell you, to make you read it. It doesn't fit in with the 0.1 to me very well. Drax the Destroyer is the Martian Manhunter. Star-Lord is Adam Strange. Rocket Raccoon is still Rocket Raccoon, thank God. It's boring. Nothing happens. Typical Marvel. Lost me.
Did anyone like Iron Man's costume?
Keith, get another book.
No, I didn't like Iron Man's costume, but I mean, there's a lot happens in this book.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I mean, really, you establish the relationship between Quill and his father. You've got,
yeah, and where does that come from? And I don't understand the relationship. And the relationship.
You Quill read the point. You just said father, that it doesn't fit with the point one, and the point one is only about his relationship with his father.
No, it's not. Actually, the point one is only about the relationship of the father with the mother, and the personality of the father doesn't fit in any way as presented in the point one with the personality of the father in this one.
Because 20 years have passed since he was with the mother.
So. It doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. He's I don't mad, care that 20 years has passed.
That's what he's mad about, though. That's the whole motivation of the character, is that his father was this like care. Great guy, and he's turned out to be a douche.
It always interests me.
It's so crazy.
So 20 years ago, he was a pretty good guy. Now he's an asshole. Damn it. I'm really interested in that. No, I'm not. Sorry.
It just seems so crazy, you know, like sometimes.
Nothing happens.
Sometimes okay, so you talk about you books where nothing happens.
I learned that these two characters don't get out in two panels, and then I had another 18 panels talking about it. That these two characters don't get along. This was not much meat on the story. Nothing happens. We find out these two characters don't get along. You get an introduction where you see a bunch of the characters, where you don't get any of the powers, any of the backgrounds. The most basic stuff just to let you know they're out there. All the characters like that, I don't know, tree type thing.
Groot.
Nothing there. Drax has two lines in the whole thing. No characterization on him whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, Earth is attacked and the father's an asshole and he set up Earth. You know what? Again, you could have told this in 4 to 6 pages. Honest to God.
What were you going to say there, Brett?
Bo talks about, I talk about books like Avengers, what's the one with them on the island?
Arena.
Yeah, Avengers Arena. And I say that, you know, I don't feel that anything happens in the book, but Mo's argument is that there's great characterization. And here we are, where Keith and I are, like, Keith, Chris, and I were arguing that there, like, we feel like there's great characterization, and Mo's like, nothing happened in the book, you know?
All I did was learn about the backstory
no
of a character.
Characterization. There's no characterization, great characterization, because you have motivation that's not explained. You just have motivation, but without any explanation or any context. Just that the character is now an asshole. He was a nice guy 20 years ago when he was on Earth and made love to the knocked up this guy's mom, and now he's an asshole. That's the explanation. That's your characterization.
Yeah, but he still left 20 years ago. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And that the son is rebellious. Oh boy, a rebellious son to his father. That's new. And then nothing on Drax, very little on Gamora. Very little on Rocket Raccoon. Nothing on that tree dude or whatever the hell he is.
Well, you
every
know, the Gamora...
Gets their, every character in Avengers Arena gets their moment to shine.
Yes, sure but hell wasn't the Gamora and Rocket Raccoon element happened in the Infinite comics.
I don't now, give a damn if it happened in the Infinite or not, Brett. I shouldn't have to read that in order to enjoy the number one issue of this. I shouldn't have to have read I shouldn't have had to have read point one to enjoy number one of Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't feel that I needed to read those to enjoy this myself, though. Personally, I just thought it was really good.
That was just your argument.
No, that was my argument for saying that Gamora and Rocket Raccoon had elements explained. But the truth is that I didn't care. I don't care who Groot is.
That's not a very good issue. In other words, if you want to go all in on everything Guardians of the Galaxy, you're going to enjoy this. If you wanted to have picked up the number one to find out whether or not it was any good, you might have been disappointed. I certainly was. I'm not. Right. I'm gone. They lost me. I loved point one.
Let's talk about a book that is so will be so easy to discuss and debate. It's the most cut and dry book that we've reviewed on the show in, I would say, like 6 months. Now this, is it in your all ages category column this month, Brad?
Oh yeah, totally it is.
I'm of course talking about the new reader friendly everyone's first comic, Jonathan Hickman's East Meets West, East of West, which is I don't know what the heck's
from Image.
From, from Image, it's number one. I'm just going to jump in because I wanted to move us on to this book. I like this. I'm not a big Hickman fan. I've said that I'm not a big. I don't love Hickman. I like that it's a dense read. It jumps around a bit, and it is about 30 odd pages of content. So It's a hefty first issue. I do find Hickman, his Marvel stuff, I find quite unpacked to the point where it's a bit like getting one puzzle piece that you can tell me it'll pay off in the end, but one puzzle piece a month or every 2 weeks for the next 4 years, I'm not going to follow along. This is wacky. This is a weird and wild book. The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. It's interesting. Someone else.
I'll go. Because the other guy who's not the Hickman fan. And I've beaten on in the past, and I wasn't liking this for most of this. Let me tell you the advantage this book had. The fact that it was so big. The fact that it isn't 18, 20, 22 pages. The fact that this book managed to be, I think it was 36 pages to read, meant that I was able to get enough story in there and get enough explanation. So even though I wasn't digging it and wasn't getting it for the first portion, the first third, or maybe even the first half, by the time this was over, I thought I really, really enjoyed it. I'm going to read it. I'm not going to read it probably monthly. I'm going to read it in trade form because I'm sure that'll be the best way because so much happens. And so these concepts here are just fascinating. And not only are the concepts fascinating, even more so, when we talk about Hickman, and Hickman's good here. But, man, Nick Dragotta and his cinematic art style here blew my ass away. This was amazing work. So I'm definitely reading this. This is it. This is the Hickman book I've been waiting for so long. It's weird. I don't know what's going on half the time. I don't understand it. But I'm going to read it. Brett?
A few episodes ago, when we were talking to Jessica, we talked about the length of time that it takes to read a book. And we pretty much agreed that 10 minutes is a great length. 15 minutes is, getting there. 20 minutes is pushing it. Well, I got to tell you that this book right here, I think it took me around between 15 and 20 minutes. But at the end of that 15 to 20 minutes, I actually came to the end of the book and I was just like, oh, shit. Where's the rest? I want more right now.
I know you wanted it in trade form because so you can get everything explained at once.
Yeah, I really just, this was one book that it could have just kept going. I now feel the same way about, the DC Injustice series because I'm loving that like to the extreme now, but this was that same feeling for me. I liked it so much that I just wanted to keep reading.
Yeah, have to agree. It's sort of Preacher in a weird-ass space. I'm in for the long haul on this one, man. It was really, really good. Hickman does it again. Of course, with me, he hasn't missed yet. So,
the year 2064, Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, kind of post, what do you call it? Just awesome, cool setting.
When was the last time all four of us agreed on a book?
I don't know. I hope it never happens again.
Once every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, I know. I'm slipping. Because usually Mo's ready to throw that monkey wrench into our... Like, we were doing so great on Green Hornet, and then, boom, there's Mo,
Mo doesn't like good comics. There's the title for tonight's episode.
Keith turned around and agreed with me on Green... So it's 2-2 on that one now.
No, he didn't agree on Green Hornet. He agreed. He agreed on your universe concept.
No, he agreed.
I agreed that I theoretically like Green Hornet.
There you go. All right. Let's go out with our plugs. I'm Mo at We Talk Podcast. Any emails is comics at wetalkpodcast.com. Mo at We Talk Podcast, that was my Twitter handle. We call it a handle still, right? So I'm, yep. Brett?
Mo _ We Talk, you mean?
Yeah, what did I say?
Mo at wetalkpodcast.com.
No, I didn't say the podcast.com. I know I didn't.
Ah, all right. Well, you got See, most of the way.
Only there was a way to prove that.
Yes.
There will be when Brett listens back.
Yeah, I won't be listening to it at that point. I'll be in a vegetative state, but...
Yeah, what we talk or something. _
There you go.
Twitter.
You'll get there eventually.
I'm on there because I have to be. Let's be honest.
You don't like people, though.
I hate people. I love humanity, but nothing ruins your faith in people like meeting them. Brett, your choice.
All right, I am Brett _WeTalk, BRETT, and
really, I'm Mo _WeTalk.
I know. M-O-B. Not B-R-E-T-T, though. Yeah. And anyways, as of this recording being out, my third volume of Access All Ages will be appearing on Comicosity, so everybody should go and read that, because I likes it. All right? Good.
Chris.
I'm Chris, _ We Talk on Twitter, and my handle is Comic Chris, if you have a CB radio. Keith?
Chris. No Chris's Comic Book Attraction this week. Week off to recover from some of the crap you've watched. That's correct.
Yeah,
Now on to the popular blogger on our site of 900 Things and much more. Keith, what's out there?
All right, you can follow me on Twitter, Cub Reporter K. Hopefully, putting together another He Said, She Said column with Jessica Boyd and after Comicosity, and hopefully getting a 900 Things column and blog up on the site, because, oh my god, apparently the 900 Things blog is one of the 900 things I gave up this year.
Excellent.
It's only been a month and a half.
When I switched to the two week cycle, and it's been 6 weeks since I switched to that. That's
But don't tell people that.
But I've stuck. I have stuck with it. I still have not bought any physical things. I've had my one reward.
You're doing good. You're just not telling people about it.
I'm almost to 4 months. December, January, February.
Have you considered packing up, packaging up your Twitter feed as a blog there?
Yeah, about 900 things.
Fascinating.
That's about 900 tweets a day you do. So
I threatened the other day to just set my Twitter to every 4 hours say Booster Gold is awesome and then leave it for a month. See if anyone noticed it was gone.
Well, the truth is that I'll bet there Twitter would notice.
Market, there's the goof. There's the Booster Gold.
My pal Mayhem said, though, that would probably be a reduction from my normal references to Booster Gold.
You got it at the last bit. All right, we're OUT.